troops and riot police supervised the march. The hardliners intended to hold prayers near the mosque, but then agreed to stop about 1 kilometer from the site, which is claimed by both Hindus and Muslims. The Supreme Court on Wednesday barred ritual Hindu prayers on the site planned for Friday. For more than a decade, tension between Hindus and Muslims has periodically exploded in violence in Ayodhya, and the demolition of the Babri Mosque by a Hindu mob in 1992 triggered nationwide riots in which more than 3,000 people died. Police have detained thousands of people across the country today to prevent religious violence. Zimbabwean state radio has said President Robert Mugabe will be sworn in for another 6-year term on Sunday and not Saturday as originally announced, after being declared the winner of polls held from March 9th to 11th. Zimbabwe's opposition and the United States, the European Union, several world states and the Commonwealth have all rejected the elections as unfree and unfair. Opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai has alleged that they were rigged and has refused to accept the result. Yugoslav military police arrested a U.S. diplomat who was detained for several hours in Belgrade and a Serbian deputy prime minister, Muncilo Pericic, as they met in a Belgrade restaurant on Thursday night. Mr. Pericic is accused of trying to hand over state secrets. He's believed to have gathered crucial evidence against former Yugoslav President Slobodan Milosevic, who is at present on trial in The Hague as a war criminal. Mr. Pericic was Army Chief of Staff until November 1998, when Slobodan Milosevic fired him after he criticized the then president's military policies in Kosovo. 25 North Korean asylum seekers who fled into the Spanish embassy in Beijing on Thursday have now left the compound bound for Manila. A Spanish embassy official confirmed the North Koreans had left, but said his government had agreed with the Chinese authorities not to reveal details of the agreement that had been made. In Manila, meanwhile, a Philippine official said the refugees were due to arrive this night. He said they would be held overnight before being deported to South Korea. South Korea has said it will take them when it's confirmed that the refugees indeed wish to go to South Korea. An itinerant Australian fruit picker has been found guilty of killing 15 young backpackers by setting fire to a youth hostel in June 2000. The man, 38-year-old Robert Long, who has a long-standing hatred of backpackers, was charged with arson and 2 counts of murder for the deaths of 27-year-old twins. He's not charged with the 13 other deaths to save time, because he already faces a maximum life sentence if convicted. 6 Britons, 4 Australians, 1 Irish national, 2 Dutch backpackers, a South Korean and Japanese traveler died in the fire in the 100-year-old hostel in the Queensland town of Childers. Maurice Duclair, DW Radio News.
One moment, please.
Choice FM. FM.
Bali Beach Hotel, the most exciting hospitality address in Sekendi Takoradi. A 3-star facility charging 1-star rates and offering a room, laptop computers, satellite TV, mini bar, etc. And a modern conference room seating a maximum of 50 and boasting of an LCD data projector and other valuable presentation equipment. For class, serenity, comfort, security, service, good food and incredibly attractive rate, Valley Beach Hotel should be your obvious choice next time business or leisure takes you to Sekendi Takoradi. You can locate Valley Beach Hotel at 181 Beach Road, P.O. Box 1273AX Takoradi. You can email them at vbh@idnghh.com. Telephone 031-26900-26901, 26902, 26903, and 26904. You can also fax them at 031-26905. Valley Beach Hotel, the complete working holiday next.
Mm-hmm.
For the best in paints, be it oil or emulsions, there's just one place to go.
Ingmar Industries Limited.
Warehouse to remain as new as the first day you painted it, you need only to use the best paints on the market. You need paints that will last and last even after 10 years of painting.
Talk of quality oil and emulsion paints?
That should be the Luxury Gloss Oil and Emulsion Paints.
Did you say the Luxury Gloss Oil and Emulsion Paints?
Yes, you heard me right. The Luxury Gloss Oil and Emulsion Paints. For bulk purchase, contact Inma Industries Limited at North Industrial Area, Daddy Bank Road near the VAT office. You can also call Inma Industries Limited on 222826. That is 222826. Inma Industries Limited for the best in deluxe products.
Come on, Gina, let's go.
Aha, Jeff, there you are. I've been waiting.
I like the way it moves.
The ergonomic design of the instrument panel puts everything within easy reach.
It's so smooth.
This engine comes with an intercooler for superior fuel economy and maximum power output of 4,200 RPM. It has alloy wheels, superior stability and anti-lock braking system.
Wow, so this is your new official car?
This is my car.
Oh yeah? Can you afford it?
With a Standard Chartered auto loan, you get the car you want at a very competitive interest rate. You have up to 48 months to repay and the monthly deductions are cool. Contact the nearest Standard Chartered bank and benefit from this great facility. Standard Chartered is making life easier.
Entrance of the Word of God gave it light. It shows light into the situation that you find yourself. That's why you don't have to miss this powerful sermon of Reverend Christy Duotete, General Overseer of Solid Rock Chapel International, on this station Choice 102.3 FM. Listen every Saturday at 6:30 a.m. We're talking about the Word of God that changes man's position from worst to best, from ugly to beautiful, and from curses to blessings. Make time with Reverend Christy Duotete this Saturday from 6:30 a.m. only on your true global news and information radio station Choice 102.3 FM. What a
Are you having problems parenting? Don't you think it might be a communication gap? So why not join me, Maxine Okugawa, on Parenting on Choice 102.3 every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. Let me be that bridge to bring happiness into your home. That's Parenting on Choice 102.3 FM.
Thank you. Good evening, I'm Christopher Lydon, your host this week and next week on this program we call Wide World. Tonight we're not just talking about the music of Ghana, we'd be happy to start a few friendly arguments about just what is the best of it all. Could you name your all-time favorite band, your favorite recording, your favorite period, or your favorite style on the road from Ghana's early big bands and high life stars through Osavisa and funky high life into hip life and contemporary gospel music? We're taking our cue tonight from the BBC and its famous program Desert Island Discs, on which guests are asked to name a handful of recordings that they would take if they were going away and not coming back. We have a number of celebrated figures in Ghanaian music in our Choice FM studio tonight, and we've asked them to narrow down their favorites to a precious few. We begin with the recording pioneer, Faisal Helwani, a legend in Ghanaian music, and his favorite sounds. We'll ask you to join this conversation, because this is a game that all sorts of people can play. We're all experts on the music we love, and I'm going to invite callers a little later in the program to join the conversation with your own passionate picks. But first, settle back and listen to some of the favorite musicians, favorite music of some of the most important people in Ghanaian music. Our web address, where you can also hear this program live, is http://1963.64.16/live.asx. Welcome to local global radio. We call it Wide World. Faisal Helwani, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us about your all-time favorite music.
My all-time favorite music is Ghanaian traditional music and contemporary music. We have got a vast reservoir of traditional music that no composer today can be able to match it. What I mean, this is music has been composed by a very high grade of composers, the ancestors in this country. So my favorite is traditional music, that's right. It's just that we will have to work at it, repackage it, and push it forward.
Well, we'll talk about that. Will you tell us about the music we heard at the start of this program?
Yeah, this is the Bamaya music from the northern part of Ghana, the Dagomba music. This Bamaya consists of three movement of rhythms, out of which we believe the funk rhythm was taken from the Bamaya. You know, all over the years in the past, we used to have like adaptation, you know. People come here and talked about being researchers and researching about music and adopting it when they feel like recording it for human consumption, for humanity. Meanwhile, we stay where we are and they move forward with our traditional music and they just move the lyrics, rearrange it and make their money and make their business. And especially the Bamaya rhythm, that is the center movement, was taken from here. This was admitted on the 30 years anniversary tape of Motown. and they admitted that funk music originated from Ghana. And this is the Bamaya, the center movement of the Bamaya rhythm, which was taken and developed. Just like most of black music you hear, it all came from Africa, somewhere from Africa. And Ghana is one of the richest country in West Africa as rhythm is concerned. I mean, when you talk of melodies, you go to Guinea, and when you talk of vocal, you go to South Africa. And when you talk of rhythm, you come to Ghana. Ghana is the richest.
you left Nigeria out entirely.
Well, you see, we're talking, I'm not saying there is rhythm in every African country, but I'm talking about the variety and the diversity, you know, in rhythm. We have so much in this country.
I want to ask Mohamed Gamadi, the producer here, to play that opening cut again. And I'd like to ask you, Faisal, if you'd like to conduct it or explain it or comment on it. I wonder if we could just hear that sound again. And I'd love to know, I hear a lot of funk. I'd love to hear the roots of funk in that sound.
Okay, let's do it. Let's go back to the Bamaya. And you are going to notice that it consists of three movements. Now, I'm not, may not be able to explain it intellectually, you know, but to me, I'm a producer who will not write about it, but will produce it and say, hey, dig it.
Can we hear it again?
Yeah. You see, as the song is progressing, the movement changes in the middle. Now, this is the first movement. Okay, now let it go. When it changes, I'll tell you the second movement.
I'm listening hard, okay.
Yes. I'm sure you do write music. I don't, like many of us in Africa. We make music, but we don't read it and write it. Many of us have not even been to music school.
I wish I did read it. I play it very badly. I play the piano badly, but I keep working at it.
Yeah. I used to play the organ with just one finger. See, now it has changed now. This is the second movement. Now, at the end of this verse, there's going to be a break, and then we move again to another, the number three movement.
Okay.
How many musicians you mean? This is the National Folkloric Company as far as voices, but when it comes to rhythm, we've got about eight of them. Now you watch out, at the end of this section, you are going to hear the change again of the rhythm movement. Now. Okay. Maybe 5,062 years, I don't know, but it's there before we all born. This is the traditional music of this country that the composers are not recognized, they are not known. It's a national asset. It used to be a floating material. Anybody can come to Ghana and take it and use it under the pretext of adaptation and development for human purposes. And right now we've worked on this, and now it becomes a state of property. Only a Ghanaian can play this music and record it without needing any permission and paying any royalties, but a foreigner will have to take permission and pay royalty to the state. The state owns the traditional music of this country.
Amen. We'll talk a little bit later about sort of who gets rich on this music, if anybody, and what the the claims to it can be and how it becomes involved and who should share in the fruits, who has shared in the fruits in the past. You're saying really that a lot of so-called researchers are really kind of pirates who've taken this and copyrighted it for the world market.
Exactly. You see, in the past, we used to have like a local agent who organized what we call popular music workshops. And then in these workshops, you get the researchers coming down, musicologists, dancers, and all that. While they talk about researching, but most of them do work for the professional music industry. They act as scouts. Now, they are coming to interact with the traditional musicians of this country who have not copyrighted their music, who don't even know about copyright. They play on their keyboard, let's say, a track of Duke Ellington, which was copyrighted before you and I were born.
Yes.
And they say, hey, let me check out, what have you got, you know? And this traditional music scene from Ghana, from the village and here and there who converge, you know, and they are giving allowances, meager allowances to practice faith. And they play music with some ideas, you understand?
Yes.
Because these guys don't read and write music, but they are great musicians. It's in them. And we have them a lot in the villages, in the neighborhood. We have a lot of drummers. We have a lot of acoustic guitarists. So they play music that has not been copyrighted. And straight away, they are actually playing theirs on tape. You know, but if you record what the researcher is playing, you know, a track of Duke Ellington somewhere, you understand, it's being copyrighted 50 years ago. So that is protected material, and what we give them is unprotected, and it's taken away.
Everybody I've spoken to in the music business in Ghana says that Faisal Helwani is the legend who has done such historic recording. But how did you get to do it? And how did you make that recording, for example?
Well, I was a promoter originally. The first international tour, I went with the Uhuru Dance Band on East African tour in 1968. I was 17, 18 year old. Ganaba was then called Guy Warren of Ghana, the famous divine drummer, one of the first 100 members of ASCAP, I believe the jazz family. He was on the tour with us in 1968, and the Uhuru Dance Band, 22-piece band, great band, high life band. These were the days where we used to have many musicians who read and write music and who are great musicians. These were the days you can come to Accra and then I'll take you out, even on a Monday night, you'll hear about 20, 30 live band playing. Heavy sax players, horn players, and you name it. So we went on this tour in 1968. We went to Uganda, Tanzania, and Kenya. So anyway, I was the promoter and I was the first to put together 5 and 6 groups to play in one night, but concerts, you know. I mean, those days you go out and it's dances only. It's not like sitting down listening to a good band, you know, digging sound. It was like, let's go out and dance, you know, clubs. So I was, I have in my organization F Promotions, and I was promoting groups that play original music only, you know. Bands that play copyright music, they never get featured on my shows those days. And I did some live filming and recording at Star Hotel, Accra by Night, in 1968, that featured about 16 solo artists, singers, and about 8 bands. It was on television for almost 6 weeks, you know, and the gate fee was very expensive. I made so much money. The gate fee was 1 CD. And after the show, you get free transport. And you know, there was one after this show, these 3 gentlemen came to me and said, listen, you advertise free show, free transport after the show, and now all the buses are gone and we are here and we are from Legon. How do we go home? I said, no problem. Taxi, come here, drop them at Legon. He said, 10 CDs. I say, here it says. They paid 3 CDs and I paid 10 CDs to send them home. That was good business.
So you were launched.
Yes.
This is great. I want Muhammad to cue up another one of your all-time favorites.
Let's go to this Odor handkerchief. This album, I've just recreated some of the old big band sound, but it's not actually Uhuru band. Uhuru High Life Classic. The word Uhuru means freedom in South African. So I use the word Uhuru as Freedom High Life Classic, not the Uhuru, the band.
And whose band is this?
This is nobody's band. This is Faisal Helwani's session musicians who were selected for this particular group.
You sound in the States we would call you the Norman Grants of Ghana.
Well, I don't know Norman Grants.
You don't know Norman Grants?
No, I mean we lack
Jazz at the Philharmonic. He put together hundreds and hundreds of sessions all over.
Well, I do that, but this particular production, I must recognize the coordinator, Mr. Stan Planche. He used to be the leader of the original Uhuru band. You know, and he's alive and well, and we both floated the Musician Union of Ghana.
I want to hear what this band sounds like now.
Pardon?
I want to hear the sound of this band.
Well, let's go. Odor handkerchief, please. Track two. This is our highlight. The high life of this country.
Amen.
You got to dance with a handkerchief waving in your hand. And a calabash of wine in your left hand.
This is good. This is good. Can we talk about this?
Yes.
I mean, this sounds, of course, we've heard High Life, and we've heard
We heard, the Bamaya, the traditional, the first track, is the Bamaya. This is the High Life of Ghana.
Yes. But I'm just trying to sort of place it in my own head. This sounds like some of the Hugh Masekela recordings from the 60s, doesn't it?
No. This is sound like itself. If Hugh Masekela have done anything like this, then he hijacked it from here.
Well, I didn't.
Oh, yes.
I'm not sure he didn't.
Oh, yes. Hugh Masekela, don't forget, he started as a jazz musician. He never played High Life originally. He only started playing other African music when he branched out.
Mm-hmm.
And after he was no more gaining jazz, because after he did his album Grazing in the Grass, you know about his album Grazing in the Grass?
I'm not sure.
Hugh Masekela, that was a hit that Hugh Masekela made called Grazing in the Grass, and his jazz. Hugh Masekela was brought into the United States by Harry Belafonte, him and Maria Makeba, at the age of 18.
Mm.
And he sent him to school, music school, and that's where he started. You know, he came in, he went in as strictly jazz musician, and his mates were Dizzy Gillespie and everybody else,
right,
the usual jazz gang. And then later on, he tried to jazzy some of the African tunes from South Africa, and then he had problem, and he was going to court for about 3-4 years, and then he was asked to go back Africa and get some African music that would put him on the scene and let him recoup the investment they put in him, you understand? And that's when Yuma Sakela hit the road with his producer, Stuart Levine. He's a Jew and I'm an Arab originally. We became very good friends. They end up staying with me when Fela introduced them to me. And I then had the Hegele sound, which I was, I formed it with some of the members. And we're actually just finished being the National Highlight Band. We did a soundtrack of a movie starring Calvin Lockhart, Contact, when he came to Ghana with a note from Fela Anikula Pokuti, that Faisal, this is you. He came to see me to record with me, but I, two captains cannot drive a ship. You have a band, you are not playing artists, maybe you can make a deal. So we made a deal. He stayed with me for 2-3 months, we rehearsed. In fact, when he came to me in Accra, he was playing trumpet, but I had the flugelhorn, brand new flugelhorn. And I feel that this is the sound with the traditional music of the continent. So I gave him a flugelhorn, and since that day, he never played trumpet anymore.
Well, he owes you. I didn't mean to get off on Yuma Sakela so much as just try to sort of ask you to pull apart that Uhuru Highlife classic sound. I mean, there's obviously a brilliant brass ensemble in there, and a lot of dance rhythm, and just horsepower.
It is. This song has been a hit in the early, late 50s and 60s. You know, this is just like a reproduction and rearrangement, you know, to keep it alive. What I'm trying to do now is like bringing the old track back, you know, because those days we used to have two-track mono recording studios here. Mm. We've never had facilities, although Polygram was here, and they were pushing a lot of foreign music in this country, but they never help the Ghanaian musicians to use proper facilities. Mm. I mean, a big multinational record company like Polygram and Decca, all of them combined, they had a four-track mono. That is the biggest thing they did here, you know. So most of our highlife music is still in the mono stage, and badly produced, you know, because of lack of facilities. And right now we are in the digital age, you know, we're trying to recreate the sound to preserve the music and keep our life going, because that's,
I want you to move up on your list to the next recording that's on your sort of desert island list. We're talking about Ghanaian music with Faisal Helwani, who's produced a great deal of it. We're going to ask listeners to call in with your own all-time favorites in Ghanaian music when the moment comes. But I'd like you to sort of give us some more.
Well, the next track is not Ghanaian only, but my star is a guitarist from the Cameroon. His name is Vincent Ngini. You know, I'm not just a Ghanaian music producer. I'm an African music producer, by the way.
Okay.
I have produced artists from Guinea, from Liberia, from the Cameroon, from Sierra Leone. I have on my repertoire over 70 albums, but I have not released about 40 of it. And this track I'm going to play now, I have kept it in the can 22 years only. I did it in 1978. I want to show something, that good music is forever. This is an attempt which few producers in Africa will dare. This is African jazz, traditional music in jazz, featuring Vincent Ngini from the Cameroon. He's been with Paul Simon for the last 6 years. He's played the last 3 albums of Paul. He did the first 3 albums of Manu Dibango. And this was done live recording in my studio on 8-track in 1978. And I featured top stars from Ghana like Amon Kote on flute, late Stanley Todd on rhythm guitar, Vincent played the lead guitar, and Awike Du Glymin played the bass. And then we had on keyboard Schmidt, Adam, and we had Ossetto too on trumpet, Peter Aquitti on trombone. These are great musicians. You can't put them together anymore. You can't find them again, and some of them are dead, actually. I'm sorry, but this year I'm going to release this 5-track on a CD, you know, and I want to start with this album, start it where it belongs, real jazz, that's the States, before we release it in Africa. The next track from the album, Vincent in Guinea, and it's jazz, Agbaja in rhythm. You know, Agbaja is the traditional music from the Volta region. No, this is wrong track. Put it track 5, please. Track 5. This is all instrumental. You don't hear a word. It's just music. Just music.
Set the tone.
I organize it and I score it with Vincent in Guinea. In fact, I contributed to the arrangement of the music. This particular one, I brought this track because he is a Cameroonian. He doesn't know about the traditional music of this country. I even did Yaponsa in jazz and he brought other track. He's a great musician. He reads it and writes it, and I recruited the best team. That I selected the team. He doesn't know anybody at that time. I brought them all one by one because I know who are the guys who can do it. And I'm very proud of it.
Well, you should be, my God.
I am.
Did they rehearse this?
We rehearsed.
Did they have parts?
We rehearsed for almost 2 months, and I cut it live. There are no dubs in this production. Live on 8-track. Because that was the facility I had at that time in 1978.
Well, the world is waiting for you to release it. It's about time. 24 years is long enough to keep the wine in the bottle, you know?
Yeah, you see, the thing about keeping it in the bottle is not just because I want to keep it, but because I have been going through a lot of frustration, you know, and I've been going up and down. Today Faisal have it, tomorrow he's broke, and it goes on like that, you know. I have invested everything I have in music production. I was running my club Napoleon 7 days a week till 6 in the morning. And everything I have is in music. And I was more concerned with the production when others were busy with manufacturing, you understand?
Yes.
So I'm now going to start to release the goodies that I'm proud of.
This is a great gift to the world. It's the musician's gift, and it's your gift too.
Thank you very much. In fact, when I told him, Vincent, I called him in Washington about 6 weeks ago, I want to do it. He said, Faisal, are you sure? Are you sure? I say, yes, believe you me. What you did 22 years ago, you cannot do it today, although you are with Paul Simon. You know, because...
Did he fight with you?
It's all about... Pardon?
Did he fight with you? Did he say yes, I can?
No way. I mean, he's my partner. He is a 50% shareholder of this project. 50-50, I and him. What I get, he gets the same thing. And it's worldwide. There's no fight. He's very happy. He said, Faisal, now all my hair is white. I say, great. You want me to wait another 22 years so that there'll be no hair at all?
Listen, I want to do this all night and every day with you. This is fun. But I want you to move down or up your or across your list to the next best thing.
Well, the next track is going to be from my own daughter, whom I love so much, Yasmin. This girl started singing from the day she dropped from her mother's womb, believe you me. Mm. Unbelievable. When she was 10 years old, she has composed so much. She was singing in a bathroom. And at the age of 15, I released 2 albums of her. She was just 15 years old. I did that production because she was going to school in Canada. She just finished her university just 3 weeks ago in Saskatchewan University, mm, where she scored a degree in business economics.
Congratulations,
thank
Dad.
You, thank yes. you very much. I'm very proud of her, and I love her so much, and she's gifted. She's got a voice that, I don't want to talk about it, you'll hear, but her brand of music is not African. She loves Billie Holiday, she loves Esther Badu, she loves Whitney Houston, and she has added her own style. You know, I released her 2 albums, but this one is not yet released. This is going to start after she officially graduate, because I'm 100% sure after this album release, the record companies who want to do that will want her to do some tour, like to promote the product, because this is unique. This is the first kind of this quality from Africa. I don't want to talk about it. Let's hear Yasmin from her title track, Memory, from her album, which is not yet out also.
Let's hear it.
No, track one. Track one, please. Yeah.
Love.
Who's the trumpet?
Ossetuku is the greatest trumpet player on the continent today. I had a former band with him, Eddie Kung Fu. I had a whole band with him. Okay.
You say you wouldn't classify your daughter Yasmin as an African singer. How she's a this is.
No, she is an African. You know, my wife is Ghanaian. She's black, and what I mean is that the music, she's into jazz classic, like hip hop. You know, jazz, hip hop, classic. What you hear. What I mean is she's on a different sound altogether. She wrote this song, you understand? And she's not into African music like traditional and high life and all that. That's what I meant.
But she grew up.
She's born. She's Ghanaian. She's African. She's black. You know. I mean, we are going to send. There are a few other talents that now I'm working with. I have a very young 16 and a half year old girl called Joycelyn. She just put out an album, you know, very nice, fantastic. She's got a voice, out voice, not singing and hiding, like, you know. And then I have a couple of other voices coming out. You know, we want to come out to do universal music, not just restrict ourselves to doing just, high life because I'm from Ghana. Right now, I'm ready to do jazz and I'm ready to do R&B with Ghanaians. We're doing rap. My son, my last born, Waleed, just released an album, hip hop. Beautiful, you know. I didn't bring a track because you said I should bring five well, of my best, you know.
You can bring as many as you like.
Yes, but some other time, no.
I want you to give us track five, and then I want to hear from callers. But I want you to get track five in before we. I ask you my own questions. Tell us about track five.
Track five is coming from my band, my first band we formed in 1973. And that is the band we got together with Huma Sakela. We did a tour, US crisscross twice. We did a tour up to Philharmonic Theater, Carnegie Hall in New York. Mm. We launched at the Kennedy Arts Center, the Atrium. The Ghana Embassy did the invitation card for us. The album was released on Blue Tomb Record by a subsidiary of Warner Brothers. At that time, the president was Bob Kresner. Our PR was Gary Stromberg, the producer of Car Wash movie, you know, later on. Stuart Levine is a co-producer in this album. My name, unfortunately, I was ripped off. My name was not even put on that album, but I did that same album without Huma Sakela a year earlier, you understand? So what Huma Sakela is playing on this album, he's playing our copyright with him occasionally soloing in between. He has not really made no music. It is the music of the Hejole Sounds.
What was the album called?
Masakela introducing Hejole Sounds.
Mm. Should we listen? Let's listen.
This track was a big hit, Rekpete. And like, you play this track in any dance hall anywhere on the West Coast and everybody goes to the floor.
Let's do it.
This album,
get ready to dance, everybody. Here we go.
This album is the only African album in the history that has earned 5-star rating by the Downbeat magazine.
Wow.
The Downbeat magazine of 1973, February. You can check it out there. I mean, at that time, Duke Ellington put out an album and he had 2-star. I mean, this was big. I mean, it was like a dream. We sold, while we were on the tour, in 6 weeks, we sold 147,000 albums. Hmm. I did not get a cent out of this whole tour. My band were fooled by Huma Sakela that they can live in America and make millions of dollars. He created a rift between me and my band, and I end up leaving America because I got up in my hotel room to find out they've left me there. And I don't know America.
And still you love this record.
I was left there. I can make a movie on the Hejolehu massacre story, you understand? And when I left, when I went to the States with this band, I went my own band with instrument, costume, everything. What even Huma Sakela is wearing, I did it for him, the Kente suits and all that, which was featured in the Penthouse and the Playboy magazine at that time. I went with all that and 5,000 cash in my pocket. 6 weeks later, I came home with 25 cents. And my boys were there, and they end up quarreling with him, and the band broke up after he did his second album with them. Let's hear Requete, please. Track one. Just the music, the idea, you know, this is strictly percussion. I dismantled the full jazz drum set. We put only a foot drum. This is my personal idea. A foot drum, six cowbell notes, and a calabash. And then a xylophone up front, traditional xylophone, two congas, and one tom-tom from and one master drum, and a lead guitar and a bass guitar.
And that was your decision. It was your sort of
exactly
orchestration.
Exactly, because three musicians came to see me originally. They are the originators of the band. One is called Lash, one is called Nipuma, and Nisai Jagabotwe. They wanted to play in Napoleon. I had already made up my mind to form a band, and these guys came with this beautiful material. And Lipuma was playing just one conga. Jagga was playing an acoustic guitar with only three strings on. He didn't have even the money to buy a full set of strings. And then Lash was playing xylophone. So the enlargement plus the lead and bass guitar, and later with Huma Sakela coming to join us, I had the flugelhorn already, you know, because if he didn't come, I was going to have a flugelhorn myself. You understand? Yeah, so yeah. Hugh did not invent anything, and the boys didn't. It was my idea, but their material, they are good musicians, and most of the music were derived from traditional music. Requete, for example, is a fisherman folk song from Liberia. Mm. The song you've just heard.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is so interesting. You really have made the bridge between traditional Ghanaian music and jazz, it seems to me, and that's your passion.
Yes, I do listen to a lot of jazz. For all my life, the jazz is the music I listen to, you know. I love jazz.
Which jazz in particular?
I like Louis Armstrong, I like Duke Ellington, I like John Webster, I like Cotring, all the big name you and everybody knows.
Right.
Any good jazz, you know, but I like the oldies. I don't like the new jazz, the noisy one, and I hate abstract jazz. I like jazz that goes with melodies, the whiskey and soda jazz.
You must like Roy Hargrove.
No. I'm very particular about Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, John Webster, John Cotring, and then I listen to some of the new, Miles Davis, you know, and Dizzy Gillespie, and I listen to Ella Fitzgerald. Billie Holiday is my favorite. And
you've heard of Sarah Vaughan too?
Yeah. You know, unfortunately in Ghana today there are few good albums selling in this country for the new generation to even know what we're talking about.
Because I was going to ask you, we hear a lot of contemporary music on the radio, but a lot of it wouldn't pass the Faisal Helwani test, I think.
Well, 99.9% of the airwave in Ghana today will not pass anyone test, anyone who is a connoisseur of good music, unfortunately. People tend to take the cheap way, not the perfection way, whereby you have to spend good time to do the real thing.
They take the synthesizer away too an awful lot in this country.
Well, because they are lazy, they don't want to learn. I mean, to play a good sax, you've got to be dedicated. To play trumpet, you got to be doing like 2 hours every morning when you get up. We have very few horn players left in this country that you can even work with. And we have few good guitarists. I mean, they're doing everything now with synthesizers. And then we have this Hip Life, you know, which came. And unfortunately, some of the media people are involved in managing the Hip Life thing. They are pushing it down the throat of the Ghanaians in this country.
Stand by. We're going to take a short break for news, but we're going to be back with more music and more calls on the very best in Ghanaian music. Music for a desert island. Your all-time favorites. We've been talking, and we will again, with Faisal Helwani and others about the very best in Ghanaian music. We'll be back after the news.
Christian Church are called for well-planned guidance in counseling programs and services in basic schools, serial killer Tristan Trial, and British Envoy grilled by Milosevic. Choice at 10. The details. The Minister of State for Primary, Secondary and Girl Child Education, Ms. Kristen Churcher, today called for well-planned guidance and counseling programs and services in basic schools to facilitate the healthy personality growth of a Ghanaian school child. She said guidance and counseling specialists are needed more than ever to assist in the identification of slowly maturing children and to help teachers set up standards of attainment for individual children in terms of their needs, aptitude, interests, and abilities, with a primary emphasis on total personality development. Government, she said, is taking steps to put in place programs to advance the physical, emotional, and social areas, as well as the intellectual matters of school children. Ms. Churcher made this known in a speech read for her at the first Career Day celebration of the Usu Presley Preparatory and Junior Secondary School in Accra. She said children go through a process of physical, emotional, mental growth from which they learn to achieve the best possible adjustment for themselves. She therefore called for a special guidance or assistance from the society, especially the schools, to help children overcome the mental and emotional problems of growing. A self-confessed serial killer child sponsor was today committed to stand trial at the Kumasi High Court for murdering Ekua Sewa, a 24-year-old hairdresser. Kwanza, 33, popularly known as Papa Kwabena Ebo, charged with murder, is scheduled to appear before the High Court on April 12. At the last sitting, an Accra Community Tribunal, chaired by Mr. Kojo Ozo, ordered that Kwanza should be detained at the Nsawam Medium Prisons until his docket at the Attorney General was ready. When a bill of indictment and summary of evidence stating that he had married Ekua Sewa, his girlfriend, was read to him at today's sitting, Kwanza said he didn't know her. He only went to the spot to catch a glimpse of the deceased. Police Inspector Peter Bennett told the tribunal that Kwanza, a mechanic and a driver, resides at Adenta in Accra, while the deceased lived in Kumasi. The prosecution said in 1986, accused was convicted for robbery and was sentenced to 3 years imprisonment at the Nsawam Medium Prison. While in prison, he met a mate called William Bitar, a Lebanese who helped him secure a job in Kumasi. In July 1995, Kwanza established a relationship with the deceased. Their relationship progressed until July 19, 1996, when the deceased went to the Kotoko drinking bar near the Kumasi Sports Stadium to meet the accused for a date. Prosecution said they left the bar at 11 p.m. On the way home, the accused strangled the deceased to death. Her body was found the next day by a laborer, Salifu Buzanga, who reported to the police. A medical report issued after the post-mortem examination performed on January 30th, 1996 said that Sewa's death was probably unnatural and will be confirmed by toxicological examination. The trial of more than 80 people suspected of plotting the assassination of last year of Congolese President Laurent Kabila has begun in Kinshasa. Laurent Kabila is alleged to have been shot dead by one of his bodyguards, but an official investigation concluded that the murder had been planned as part of an international plot to topple the government. Suspects include some of his closest aides, as well as many people who human rights organizations claim were clearly not involved. After months of delay, Congo's special military court is finally free to open its doors on the most sensitive murder trial in the country's recent history. It will be looking into events before, during, and after 16 July last year, when the country's president Laurent Kabila was shot dead, allegedly, by one of his bodyguards known as Rashidi, who himself was killed soon afterwards. Slobodan Milosevic has been carrying out an intensive cross-examination of the former British envoy to the Balkans, Paddy Ashton, at his trial at the War Crimes Court in The Hague. The former Yugoslav leader accused Lord Ashton, the first Western politician to testify at the tribunal, of making speeches instead of answering the questions. Mr. Milosevic had begun by asking Lord Ashton the bulk of whose evidence so far has related to two trips made as the Kosovo crisis was unfolding when he had known of NATO's plans to attack Serbia. Lord Ashton said the purpose of the visit had been to prevent international intervention over Kosovo, from which Mr. Milosevic is charged with masterminding the deportation of thousands of ethnic Albanians. He said he had witnessed indiscriminate and punitive attacks in Kosovo designed to drive innocent civilians out. Mr. Milosevic has chosen to defend himself at his trial for alleged war crimes in Bosnia, Croatia and Kosovo, and genocide in Bosnia, and is therefore entitled to cross-examine any witness. With that, we end Choice at 10, presented by Larry Benson. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Liven up your faith every Sunday morning by listening to the unadulterated word of God as proclaimed by Odifo Akwa of the Church of Bethesda on Choice 102.3 FM. Bethesda R, Sunday mornings 4 a.m. till 5 with Odifo Akwa. Bethesda R, the word of God in chief. Jesus, your sweet name, Lord.
every morning to create teaching lessons on the Word of God, as delivered by the Reverend Olushola Ayodele Ariogo of the Live Voices International Church in the series Living by the Answer. First thing in the morning, weekdays from 4:40 a.m. to 4:55 a.m. only on Choice 102.3 FM.
Way is a program on Choice 102.3 FM this and every Sunday evening from 7:30 to 8 p.m. Listen to Brother H. Willie Glay of the Church of Christ. The church is located at Circle, 7 buildings from Telecom headquarters towards Caprice. You can also contact them on 221-237. Worship with the Church of Christ in your community. Remember, it is Church of Christ this and every Sunday evening at 7:30 to 8 p.m. only on Choice 102.3 FM.
Are you having problems parenting? Don't you think it might be a communication gap? So why not join me, Maxine Kugawa, on Parenting on Choice 102.3 every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. Let me be that bridge to bring happiness into your home. That's Parenting on Choice 102.3 FM.
Edit. Direction for your life. A life without direction is a life without focus. Focus on the majors and not the minors. Listen to Youth Platform this and every Saturday at 1 p.m. With Youth Platform, you get the direction that gives you the right focus in life. Remember, it is Youth Platform this and every Saturday at 1 p.m.
Choice 102.3 FM.
Yo!
Christopher Light, and this is Wide World. We're talking tonight about the very best in Ghanaian music, which is one way to start an argument. We're talking about the favorite recordings of some very interesting people in the music industry, in the music business, the art of music in Ghana. We've been listening to Faisal Halwani's favorites. We're now listening to some of the favorites of our guest Parquet, disc jockey, music producer, our guest on Wide World this evening. Parquet, what have we been listening to?
I've just been listening to the sounds of Osibisa, and that was a track called Aiko BIA. For me, it represents the musical journey that began sometime in 1970. For most of the people of my generation, it was quite a revelation to find a group from Ghana, or largely from Ghana, playing a very different kind of music that was later on termed as Afro rock. And this was like an orgasm to my ears when I first heard it. I might say it was my very first orgasm.
Well, they say, that's interesting, 13 years old. The music you hear when you're 13 and you love when you're 13 becomes the music of your life.
Well, that's roughly run about the age I was when I first heard that.
Tell us about Afro rock. This reminds me of a kind of Afro-Caribbean Cuban sound. A little, is there a little connection with Irakiri? Right.
Irakiri from Cuba, yes, I know the group, and definitely more sort of a Latin sound. But then again, you see, the whole argument about this music sounding the same as Latin or perhaps reminding you of those other groups is not quite surprising, because Latin itself has its roots firmly in the soils of Africa.
Of course, sure.
And therefore, a lot of the Latin rhythms that come back to us is just really the parcel being sent back to the sender.
Whose idea was Osibisa?
Osibisa's was really a coming together of African musicians who were living in London, and the core movers were Teddy Osei, Mark Tonto, his brother, who was later called on to join the band, and Sola Mafio, the three Ghanaians. Then pulled in some other musicians from the Caribbean, I think two musicians from the Caribbean and one Nigerian. Mm. So it was very much a Pan-African band in the sense of the diaspora.
It's a tremendously exciting sound. I want to do this all night and all week, but because we can't, I want you to move right along in some of your other all-time favorites. This is Music for Discs for a Desert Island with Parquet.
Right. My next track is from Nanette Sibu, who is a very little-known musician here in Ghana, but he's UK-based. He's done absolutely a lot of work with a lot of bands and musicians. He's played with Miles Davis, in fact, Arturo Sandoval, so many famous musicians, and he's very steeped in jazz as well as traditional music. And he's he was actually in one of the groups I last managed before coming back to Ghana, which was the Mori Drum Orchestra. And he's a solo artist in his own right. And this was his very first solo album. And on this particular track you're going to listen to, it's a very traditional palm wine style sort of sound. And it's called Odumankuma Bwami, which means the God, the Creator, help me.
Mm.
Origins of the music. It's like an offshoot of high life, and it became sort of the poor man's high life, if you like, because all you needed was one acoustic guitar and probably claves or, you know, a washboard and a gome drum, which is a square frame drum, which in itself has got very interesting origins and history. And off you went. You know, you could play it as a trio, as a soloist, or, you know, in a little ensemble of musicians. So I guess the where most people listen to this type of music was the palm wine bars, where they could just go in and buy cheap local brews and have a drink and listen to the music.
We should all be in a palm wine bar.
We should be. Great music.
It is. Keep moving.
Yeah, this track is quite interesting in the sense that and it features quite a number of very famous Ghanaian musicians. Alfred Kari Bannerman on lead guitar, the late Daku Potato of Osibisa fame was also one of the percussionists on there, and it also has Nana Appiah, who is also another percussionist doing very well in Europe and the States, and it's just beautiful. I listened to this music being played in Venezuela some years back when we did a collaboration with the Teatro Negros de Bolavento, and we had a whole village in eastern Venezuela singing this music. It was just magic, you know. But then again, you know, that's the nature of music. My next track comes from a veteran Ghanaian musician. I'm sure Faisal knows this man and has probably worked with him before, Eric Ajiman. And this track is Metu Tumrika. It was actually used as a title track for the film A Good Man in Africa. And I hope he was paid enough royalties, because it was extensively used in the film. So this is
Eric Hageman. I've heard about him. I've not heard the sound. Let's listen.
He's a good artist, good musician.
And do you like Parquet's choice?
Sure, I like his choice, sure. Parquet knows only good music.
Thank you. Give us number four, Parquet.
Right, okay, my next artist, and another favorite of mine, is this man called Alhaji K. Frimpong. And this is one of his classics, all-time classics. It's a track called Chenchenbie Dimewu.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting, actually, because I've always loved this track. And as Faisal mentioned earlier on, there's Hip Life around. And I work and manage the originator of Hip Life, Reggie Rockstone. And at one point, we decided to define what really Hip Life was, which was like taking its origins from high life music and fusing it with rap. And in order to do this, we had to demonstrate it in a very classic way. So we used the instrumental of this track to do a song called Keep Your Eyes on the Road. And this is the original. So Chenchenbie Dimewu from Alhaji K. Frimpong.
Keep Your Eyes on the Road, okay. Before you got here, Debra Hodgson said that in South Africa has vocal magic, in Guinea, certain melodic magic, but the root of rhythm is here in Ghana.
But what do I appreciate I should do though? My strong point is the guitar or bass guitar.
I know
he's a percussionist and
how do you know the Ghanaian rhythm when you hear it?
Oh, I think it's something you grow up with. It's something you hear around you all the time. You hear it in work songs, you hear it in the lullabies, you hear it in Kuno and Dirty, you know, it's something you grew up with.
So the characteristics are varied, and it's difficult to describe. You've got to feel it. You've got to be part of it for a while, and then you know what it is. You can tell it apart from any other music. Even when it has influenced some other music, you can still to know that that is the real music.
Just because time is precious, I want you to give us number five.
Yes, certainly. Number five is from another very favorite old-timer of mine. And this man has been absolutely amazing in supplying a hit after hit, especially in the 70s. And he's still at it, you know, even though he's not had a substantive kind of album release recently. But he's still got old classics. CK Man.
Ah, yes.
Funky High Life.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Good. About the greatest in Ghanaian music. We're talking about music and recordings for Desert Island. The 2, 3, 4, 5 recordings in the 20th century that you'd take to a Desert Island if you could only take 5. The phones are 70, 11, 100 or 70, 11, 200. Our guests in the studio are the music producers Faisal Helwani, Parquet, and Ebo Hawkson. Ebo Hawkson's favorites will be coming up soon, but I want to give listeners a chance to call in with their own arguments on this rather wide-open subject. 70, 11, 100, or 70, 11, 200. We welcome your calls. Tell me a little bit more about CK Man. He's a legendary name. Is he still, you say he's still performing in Ghana?
Yes, he's still performing.
Where are we going here?
He's in Takoradi. He's got a little band together. He's not playing as much as I think he should, but he's definitely very much on the road. He's been composing. He's released a couple of CDs, the gospel vein, you know, and he's actually planning to come out with an album of, you know, highlight music. But I think CK Man has made so many highlight classic hits over the years, and also his lead singer, Papa Yankson, who featured on most of his early recordings, is now a highlight, major highlight star in his own right. But one of his really interesting albums, I believe, and I really love, was an album called High Life Salsa, which was really, really sublime. It's amazing, you know, because he fused the high life with the salsa and talking about the parcel going round. That was a typical example.
Well, and to make another combination, you just mentioned gospel music. We haven't heard any gospel music, but there's another form that circulates round and round and round. Where does that stand now?
Gospel music is probably the biggest form of music in Ghana currently, simply for certain reasons. The problem with Ghana today is that there are not enough musical instruments for a lot of the youth who are sort of growing up. You know, a lot of us got into music in our teens and when we were in secondary schools. And when we were in secondary schools, we had instruments. I went to school called St. Augustine's in Cape Coast, which is very famous for the Famous Flames, named after James Brown's band.
Yes.
And a lot of very good musicians. And the school had three sets of instruments, you know, that we could choose from. Currently, most of the secondary schools do not have any instruments. So what happens is they beatbox and rap, you know, because for good reason, there are no instruments for them to learn how to play. So a lot of musicians in Ghana today are learning their trade in the churches, because the churches do have musical instruments, and they can learn how to play, you know, trumpets, guitars, you know, all sorts of musical instruments. And the reason why the churches have this advantage is because the government put a tax on musical instruments, which made musical instruments luxury items. So it's rather prohibitive for a lot of businessmen or investors to actually go buy musical instruments and try and set up a band. Whereas the churches, on the other hand, have no taxes to pay. So consequently, you know, they can bring
instruments. Isn't that curious? But surely the schools don't have taxes to pay.
Well, I don't know if the government actually waives the tax for schools when they import musical instruments. I'm not sure about that. But really, what has happened is, like most of the secondary schools in Ghana, a lot of the bands and the musicians you listen to on a lot of the albums came through the secondary school system. The secondary school bands used to have band competitions. In fact, Faisal tried to organize, tried to hark back to the old days, I think it was last year, by organizing some pop chains and stuff like that. But, you know, it's not happening like you used to in the 70s or the 80s.
No. I'm just interested in the picking up.
I think Faisal liked the comment there.
Faisal, I don't see it why gospel music is big in this way. Today, because of the economic situation in this country, the whole country has become like one big church. There are more churches in Ghana today than hairdressing saloons. We have good ones and we have fake ones. And they use the music to attract the crowd. You know, where there is music, you can always have the crowd. So they find it more profitable to attract people, because definitely when you get the crowd, you get donation. First collection, second collection, third collection, otherwise we're not going to deliver Jesus. And 7 days a week, and it's happening with sound, you know, that they did not only take over the music industry, but even they tell the congregation, this is Christian music, do not listen to secular music because it is being done by the devilish people. I mean, there are a lot of Ghanaians today, you will not believe it. They'll tell you, I don't listen, I only listen to gospel music, you know. Now, just recently, there was a studio owner who made a press release that he will only record in his studio gospel. He will not allow secular music to be recorded in his place. So what is happening that because of the economic situation and people are made to believe that they can sit down and spend their life praying and money will drop from heaven. Meanwhile, give me the few CDs in your pocket and the millions will be coming. Why worry? You want to enjoy today here? Take your time. You are going to enjoy in heaven. Let the bad people enjoy on earth. You know. So really, the whole music industry have been disorganized by the churches. Not only that, they have advantage. They bring cassettes. They go to organization like Oral Roberts and Billy Graham in the U.S., and they get like 500,000 cassette, 100,000 cassette. We want to take it to bring the people in the fold of the Lord. And when the cassette get here, they erase it and re-record their own group music and all that. I mean, you go to churches, they are selling cassettes and CDs, you know, and like you must buy the cassette. So gospel music have been going on. Some of them are good, but like every church now is doing their own recording, and their members must support the church by buying the music of that church.
I'm interested in the way, whether gospel or otherwise, Ghanaian music listens to music in the States, copies it, adapts it, changes it, sends it back, has its own influence over there. Interesting, Parker, you talk about, you know, a school band calling themselves the Famous Flames in the 60s. Talk a little bit about how musicians you love here were affected by Louis Armstrong or Charlie Parker. And then again, I want to know how Ghanaian musicians make it in the world market and in the States, or do they? First, talk about the influence of American music on Ghana, and then Ghana's penetration of American music too.
Right. In terms of Louis Armstrong visited Ghana, I believe it was 1956, and with the All Stars.
That the famous Ambassador Satch record.
That's right. And he came to find high life music, you know, which was already in existence. High life organized along the lines of a big band. So you had contemporaries of his like E.T. Manson and later on King Bruce and so on. But he did come to find a very thriving music scene in Accra, in Ghana, and a lot of very competent musicians he found, and was quite surprised to hear some of the sounds. The interesting thing about that visit, though, is that on that visit, he had a song which he actually remarked reminded him of a song from he'd heard in New Orleans. You know, and it was actually a song that E.T. Manser's Tempus played. It was one of their standard songs, and he was very much impressed by this. Later on, with further research, it's been discovered that that song really had its origins in the Caribbean. And it's an old song called Sly Mongoose. And it was adapted or readapted as All For You by the Tempus. And that's a very famous song in the Ghanaian highlife repertoire. Now, so obviously the Western music, or American music in particular, had an influence on a lot of early bands, because a lot of them started playing from waltzes and foxtrots, and then evolved into playing swing, and then evolved into high life bands. So a lot of the musicians of that time came from that background of a very Western American jazz influence.
We're talking about the very best in Ghanaian music. The phone is 70-11-100 or 70-11-200. Caller, welcome to the conversation.
Thank you very much. Well, first, I'm making a point, and I like it so much. Now, the FM station, most of the DJs play a lot of music. They promote certain music. They themselves don't have musical ears. So anything that anybody brings to them, they just blow it and then just make comments that as if it's the best music. They push it down our throat, as he said. And it is true. They are very good musicians, live, isn't it? Arthur Kofi Vince. These are world class musicians, but when they come to Ghana, they don't have a name. And you go around all kinds of noise and music, and they play it as if, and people make comments, and sometimes you wonder where the musicians are coming from. You see, if you want to talk about music, Ghanaian music is not going on the world market. The music we have here is just around the four corners of Ghana. It doesn't go outside, because when they listen, they don't see any music in them. All is computer music. There's nothing good in it. There's no originality. Let us go back and get the original music where people will play live music as far as I did. And it's a good piece. You see, now we don't have any good musicians in the country. Everybody gets up and just go and sing, and then everything is done and it's playing. on the air, and they will give all kinds of names, whatever they rap or whatever it is. There's no originality. The people themselves who sing don't even understand music. And one thing that saddens my heart is the DJs don't have musical ears. They don't even understand music to decide which one is a good music and which is a bad music. Anything they just played, and they played loud, and sometimes I don't know where we are going as Ghana. You take some West African countries, Congo, and then South Africa, and then this lady I like so much from Benin. I mean, you listen to music, you know that this is music. What do we have in Ghana? Anybody just gets up and then sing it, and they don't want to be corrected. Let them go to music school.
I think you're among friends here.
Yeah.
Faisal.
Well, what you are saying is 100%. I've been saying the same thing. I have said last week on my radio show, Benin Music Hour, that we have more solo artists in Ghana than America and Europe put together.
Yeah.
Because everybody want to stand and just make noise, like you're saying. Unfortunately, the committed musicians don't exist.
Yeah.
And why you are hearing a lot of trash on the radio? Because many of these DJs have been paid to push that rubbish.
Yeah.
And we have mercenaries, we don't have DJs.
We
have very few DJs, but the rest are all gangsters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at this counterfeit chart show in the newspaper.
On what basis?
How can you say top 20 and you add a rapper and a reggae artist and a traditional musician in the same show?
I mean,
the whole thing is a mockery, understand?
True.
And we have too many radio stations who are full of non-committed people, and you see, to play good music you have to be listening to good music. I mean, listen to most of these DJs, the standard even of talking on the air. I mean, when I saw today Parker here, I'm so happy to see him, and I used to stay late just to listen to him when he was DJing at Groove Radio. I mean, he listened to good music, and that's why he's able to play good music.
Yeah.
Well, you see, the public should rise against all these mercenaries, and then let's put the thing right. And not only that, the societies that are running the music industry is so corrupt and misleading, and it has become like personal societies of certain individuals, but not the music industry.
That's true.
And then when we allow everybody to pirate foreign music in our country, you should be sure that nobody's going to allow us to make money in their countries.
Yes.
Remember, America went to China, they went everywhere to fight for their right, and how are they going to allow you to distribute your music in their country when you allow everybody to rip them off here? Even right now, the Copyright Society of Ghana picks money from hotel for playing foreign music, mostly American, but they never play anything to the pay any money to the American composer. Now you see, in copyright protection is hand go, hand come. You protect me in your territory, I protect you in mine. So we are nothing but jive asses and thieves. That's why we are not moving nowhere. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Right. Carla, thank you. We're talking about the best in Ghanaian music with three very eminent producers of it. Would you talk a little bit about the lure of the American market and the world market for Ghanaian music, and how your guys get into the sort of the European tours and the American tours, and what, you know, who's crashed it?
Well, okay, I think I'll go on this one. Like the caller rightly said, you know, there are a lot of musicians who are masquerading, or rather, a lot of people masquerading as musicians. But there are a few musicians left in Ghana. One such musician I very much respect and admire is Nana Danso Abiam of the Pan African Orchestra. He had this dream of setting up a Pan African Orchestra using African instruments and creating a neoclassical African music. Now, the success of this is born in the fact that his album, Opus 1, was recorded on Real World, which is a major music label belonging to Peter Gabriel, who is one of the rock stars of yesteryear, and released and distributed by Virgin Records. Now, this album on its release was number one in American Billboard charts for 9 weeks.
Hi.
And the amazing thing about this group is that it's based here in Ghana, but very few Ghanaians have ever heard them, or very few Ghanaians actually even listen to the music that they play. Mm. But they play a very traditional classical music, sometimes recomposed, sometimes composed by Nana Dancer Abiam. So he has cracked it. Prior to this, we had Kofi Ghanaba, then known as Guy Warren, in as far back as 1956, recording an album, Africa Speaks, America Answers, and that was over a million seller, right? And that was as far back then. And, you know, he chalked many successes. One of his famous songs, Rhythms of Happy Feeling, was played by so many different orchestras and so on and so forth.
Do you know the Ghanaian music, drummer Kwashi?
Kwashi depends on which. Kwashi is like.
he was known as Kwashi. I believe his last name is Amebovor.
Oh, Amebovor. Amebovor Kwashi, yes.
He's a master drummer.
He's a master drummer, yes. He
now lives in the United States.
He lives in the States, yes.
Does he have a following here? I mean, would he?
No. Not really.
The thing is that perhaps we need to differentiate between the categories. You know, like Nana Danso's music is non-commercial, though, you know, some of us like it. But, you know, when we talk of the popularity of music, that's commercial music or pop music, we might not classify Kwashi as one of those, and therefore the Ghanaian is not really going for classical music. I'm sorry to say, because we have a symphony orchestra that is there. It doesn't expose its music to the public, and what we tend to like is the commercial music. That's where our emphasis is. Yet we are not doing anything about it. We are not putting in much effort to get it onto the international market. If you compare Ghana with other West African countries, let's talk particularly about Mali, Senegal.
How do they do it?
Well, they go within themselves and produce music that is authentic. It is their music. It's not, you know, even if you want to do a fusion, let the percentage of your contribution be higher than what you are adopting. You know, it appears that when we try to do a fusion, that is, try to modernize our music, you know, the ingredients that you put together, in terms of percentage, it appears we have imported more than what we are putting in. And so it ends up as a product that is not recognized as Ghanaian. Yet, you know, we like you put Ghanaian words to the music and then you think that's enough, you know. But where African music will thrive is when you put in a lot of your rhythms, because that is where our strength lies. And that is what Youssou N'Dour, Senegal, Salif Keita, Mali, and the rest have done.
And we're talking about Ghanaian music at its very best with three experienced giants in Ghanaian music. Caller?
Hello.
You're on the line.
Yeah. This is Ghana Gabriel. I'm really impressed with the kind of program that you are doing. I believe if we continue to do programs such as this, our traditional music will be revived. We should say that we did not complete exploring our traditional our traditional music when we found ourselves in this mess, and I would like to make reference to the traditional music that we have in the northern parts of this country. If we look at the xylophone, for instance, it's full of wealth. It has so much music in it, and the melody and everything is so good. But this is one musical instrument that we have not fully explored, and I would like to encourage Mr. Helwani, who is so much interested in traditional music, to have a look at the Desalifone, and I believe it's going to bring us some add to the wealth of the music that we have in Ghana. And yes, until recently, you know, we didn't know anything about it, but now it's coming up. But I believe that what we have is not enough, and if you look much more deeper into it, we are going to get something very useful from it. Thank you very much.
Caller, thank you. Who wants to respond?
I thank you very much for your sentiment. You know, back to why the music industry is not going across worldwide, internationally, because if we keep on producing and we don't distribute and make money and put money in the artist's pocket, there's going to be confusion all the time. People think that you are ripping them off, you are selling here and there, but the fact is that no big label in Europe, in the US, where the market is, want to do business with us, because many of our so-called quack producers are pirating their own artists and repertoire in England and in Europe. The major record shops are retailing the album for £12 and £14, while the Ghanaians are selling the album at parties and peddling it in funerals for £4 and £5. Now, the cost of advertising in America and Europe is quite big, you know. It's not like here, because it is the duty of the distributor to spend money on advertising. And now, when you are undercutting your own product and you are pirating your own repertoire and your material is floating anyhow, no security, no respect for the norms of the business, and in addition to that, you are dodging the payment of taxes in those countries, you are not going to be given a distribution deal. We have been punished because we are having a lot of dishonest Ghanaians who pretend to be producers, but they are actually pirates. Now, many Ghanaians are burning CDs on their computers. As we play right now, some of the radio stations are broadcasting digital on internet. Some people in Canada, in England, in America, they are burning CDs and they are selling. They buy burners and sell. So there is no security for the investors in our product. So if the business side is not being dealt secured properly and is not secured, and the music industry is not regulated, you know, whereby everybody have to operate honestly, we can produce the greatest music and there'll be nobody interested in distribution. Many a time I carry my master tapes, I go to Europe, I go to the States, no business, because the moment you are coming from Ghana, they don't want to know, because the Ghanaians are messed up, the Nigerians, the same thing. When you look at the Cameroonian and Senegalese musicians and producers, they are more serious. That's why you see that they are able to do some kind of better business and they are enjoying business
opportunities. But now, what about the recording suggestions that our caller was just making?
Yeah, this is great. We have, listen, the music industry in Ghana too has been tribalized. Right now, most of the music you hear belongs to these same producers. They are all either Kwaus or Ashantis, whether you like it or not. This is the situation. The hawkers on the street, take 10 hawkers, they are all Kwaus. They bring them from the village. And they have tribalized the industry that nobody is even promoting the music from the north, from the Volta region and all that. You're only hearing one music, and you are hearing the same family names, you know. And this is what is suffering. The gold mine of music is in the north. I recognize that. I have Onipanya, I have the Dagomba music, the Bamaya, the Nagla. We have so much music in the north. Nobody want to produce the north. And the best drummers even, they are all from the north. What are the West looking for from Africa? They are looking for drums, the African drums. They are not looking for computers that they have invented. You understand? The moment you take a production that is made on a computer, your product is worthless. They want to hear live human being playing the drums. This is Africa, you know? And the goldmine of drummers and drums and rhythm and authentic music is right in the northern of this country. It's in the water region. It's everywhere. But if you look now, the music industry has been tribalistic. And that's all I can tell you. Why are they not promoting and pushing the musicians from the north of this country and the Volta region when we have so much rich central region? You know, we are only as if there is no music but from the mountain, from Obo and from Kumasi. Let's face it. I do Adowa, I have produced Kony Mo, I have my on my repertoire the whole Ghanaian rhythm and Ghanaian artists. But the DJs are hired to play only one brand of music, as if this country we only have Kwesi Ajepon, Ajepon Kwesi, Badu Kwesi, Kwesi Badu, and all that. And let's stop that. Let's do Ghanaian music from all over the country.
Wow, that's an important speech. Do we agree about this?
Yeah, well, yes, but I think it's extends beyond even that because I think the caller was also worried about the acceptance of Ghanaian music internationally. And I was trying to make a point about that. There is a category of music they call world music. You know, if we would recognize this and package our music for that, it's likely that sooner than later we can make a break. Because, you know, in Ghana, as we don't have that recognition for this particular category of music, is it that particular category of music embodies non-Western music, like it could be even Indian popular music,
yes,
yeah, African popular music,
yes,
and all of them go on in that category. So you go to the shelf and you're looking for that type of music, you go there and pick it, you know. So
yeah, but Ebo, I'm sorry to interrupt on this point.
Yes,
I feel very bitter about the ripping off of the credit that belongs to Africa for all the third world country to be described as world beat. That's not
well, this. There's nothing
hold
to
on.
Do.
I mean, hold this on. This commercial. Whole thing. No, hold yeah. on. Hold on. You see, African music is a brand. I mean, you cannot say world beat from Africa. When African music, all music has been popularized and pushed, and now
can I interrupt you, Faisal, just to say we're going to break for the news and come back with Ibo Hawkson's Desert Island Discs. We're talking about the greatest music of all in Ghana, and we'll be back after the news.
Shop owners commend AMA for clearing hawkers on pavement. Girls stop schooling after making love with their teacher, and Sudan lets Uganda go after rebels. Choice at 11, the details. The operations manager of the Mokola Marketing Mall, Mrs. Rosemary Kudo, today commended the Accra Metropolitan Assembly for the exercise to clear hawkers and squatters from pavements in the city. She said the presence of the hawkers and squatters on the pavement is a nuisance to pedestrians and has negative impact on the sales of shop owners at the mall as they sell the same items. She said the hawkers also generated rubbish on the pavements and streets, adding that the AMA should be commended for the exercise, which has so far rid the streets of congestion, leading to free movement of humans and vehicles. Mrs. Kudo urged the AMA task force to persevere in the operations even if the hawkers resist, and asked all traders who have shops at the mall not to join the hawkers on the pavement, to turn to their shops. A second-year junior secondary school girl who was caught making love with a teacher has dropped out of school because she could not stand the humiliation following the exposure of the affair in the neighborhood and taunts by her schoolmates. Upon the advice of an arbitration panel, it was agreed that the teacher should pay a compensation of 4 million cedis to be used to support the girl to acquire a vocational skill. However, the teacher Ben Jampo of the Koforidua Anglican School Complex is refusing to pay the compensation, claiming the girl is 18 years and that she consented to having sex with him. In an interview with the Ghana News Agency, the mother of the girl, Madam Janet Ajiman, who is also a widow, said she and Jampo and his family stay in the same compound house at Bentom in Koforidua. She said on December 28, 2001, at about 11 p.m. when she was about to go to an all-night class service, she set out to inform her daughter, who was then taking care of a room belonging to another teacher in the house who had traveled. Madam Ajiman said when she knocked on the door, there was no response and she went on to the window of the bedroom to wake up the girl. She said she heard some unusual noise in the room. We are sorry for that break. On the foreign front, Sudan and Uganda have signed an agreement aimed at containing the direction for your life. A life without direction is a life without focus. Focus on the majors and not the minors. Listen to Youth Platform this and every Saturday at 1 p.m. With Youth Platform, you get the direction that gives you the right focus in life. Remember, it is Youth Platform this and every Saturday at 1 p.m. Are you having problems parenting? Don't you think it might be a communication gap? So why not join me, Maxine Kugawa, on Parenting on Choice 102.3 every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. Let me be that bridge to bring happiness into your home. That's Parenting on Choice 102.3 FM.
Choice 102.3 FM in studio.
Ghana, the land of beautiful festivals, await your arrival. Obechocho, Fiuk, Fao, Kologo, Damba, Apo, Kwafie, Asafutufia, Depo, Bujura, Homo, Kundum, Abuache, Odambia, Fitu, and Apambo.
Hear the whispers of the trees traveling on the wing of the good morning breeze.
I love that song, Cha 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 Cha.
I'm Christopher Light, and this is Wide World. We're talking about Ghanaian music that'll live forever, maybe. It's always an argument, and we ask you to join it a little bit later. But we're talking about music, desert island discs with some very experienced and eminent men in the music business in Ghana. We've heard Faisal Helwani's favorites. We've heard Parquet's. And now we're going to hear a selection from Ebo Hawkson, a music producer and an authority in his own right. Tell us about what we've been listening to, Ebo.
Yeah, that's you just heard Ghana Forever.
by Nat Brew. I picked this along to the island. I mean, when I got stranded there, I thought that's good music to keep listening to because it reminds me of home, Ghana. There are very few musicians composing patriotic songs, and this might not sound so patriotic because of the way it's been put together. But if you listen to the lyrics, you find that it's as good as describing Ghana as heaven. And I thought this is what some of our musicians should be emulating, getting lyrics that inspire you, you know, to a high level, rather than, I believe Faisal would have better words to describe the kind of lyrics that we listen to. And I thought more for the lyrics and especially for his melodies. Yeah, because Nat Brew is one of our good composers.
Yeah, this is, everybody else knows, but I don't. Tell me more about Nat Brew. I've heard about him.
Yes. Well, Nat Brew he's changed his name to Amanziba because he wants to identify more with his Africanness. He has been playing music for some time. He was in partnership with Rex Omar and Akosua Ejepong some years back under the name Nakorex. They had a few hits, and then they decided that they would split to experiment or explore their individual talents and maybe come back sometime later and record again as Nakorex. Since then, he's gone on to do some good work. One of his songs is played by this station, I think, as a theme song, Wogbe Jeke. But this particular one that we listened to, you know, there was going to be a tourism fair a couple of years ago, and he decided to dedicate a song to Ghana, and that's when he composed this.
Well, thank you, Ebo Hoxson, and thank you, Nat Brew. Let's move across your list.
Yes. Well, there's a kind of Ghanaian music that's dying away so rapidly. That's guitar band music. And I definitely would want to carry some guitar band music along with me if I'm going to be stranded on an island. And at the moment, there aren't too many guitar songs on CDs. And I realized that for technical reasons, I had to bring CDs. And so there's a particular one that is on CD by KK's band, led by Yeboah. And, you know, the interesting thing about the guitar bands was their relationship with the concert parties, you know. So we often had a trio doing the singing. There were the times that you have a Akan trio and the likes. And KK's band also participated in concerts. You know, when we say concert, I don't know if Chris, you know what we mean. We don't mean going to sit down and listen to an orchestra. We mean a concert party that performs a play with music.
And like vaudeville.
Yeah, okay. I think that's where it grew from. So
I want you to take me to one.
Sure, we would. I think there's one every Saturday at the National Theatre.
Well, we'll go tomorrow. Okay.
Yes. And the KK's band was one such group. It was KK's concert party, and so they had a trio. So when they sing, you know, they share the parts in three parts. But they have an interesting way of singing. The harmony is three parts, but they intertwine. You know, it's this one counts in and the other one, you know, follows, and it's quite an interesting way of singing, but okay. It's typical of guitar bands. So I picked Bomidua, you know, if you want to kill me, hit me hard and let me die.
Let's listen to it, okay.